you to tell me about a favorite place, what would you tell me about? Would it be outdoors, a park, or a field, a room in your house, maybe a lake outdoors, maybe an old house that you used to live in? Our answers would say a lot about us, wouldn't they? The place might be in a faraway land, another continent perhaps, or down the road. In our reading from 2 Samuel, King David tells the prophet Nathan about one of his favorite places, a house paneled with cedar. And he tells Nathan he wants to build a house for God. And Nathan thinks this would be a good thing for David to do. But God tells Nathan to tell David that he will establish David's seed. And his seed would not only build God's house, but God would establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I, the Holy God, will be his father, and he shall be my son. So this is a prophecy about Jesus, God's only begotten son, born of Mary, the seed of David. And the main point here is that God is promising that Jesus will come and dwell with us and be our king forever. Fast forward to our passage, John 14, which presents not one place, but two places that Jesus prepares for us. One we're more familiar with and we think about in terms of this passage, that mansion or room in God's house in heaven. But there's a second house or a second place here. It's here on earth where God the Father and Son, through the Holy Spirit, come to dwell, the heart of the believer. There are words of great comfort here from Jesus, from our Lord and Savior. We can live without being troubled or afraid because His Spirit dwells in us. And He repeats in these words twice. He repeats them again in verse 27. My peace I leave you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says this peace is something that the believer can know in this life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So John 14 is part of the Last Supper, the Upper Room Discourse, the Passover meal, the final Passover meal that Jesus celebrates with his apostles. You're familiar with the events, the bread and wine that from here on represent Jesus' body and blood. Jesus washes the apostles' feet. Judas is identified as the betrayer and sent on his way. And as recorded in the other Gospels, Jesus tells Peter that before the cock crows, he would deny him three times. So many important discussions, many important events take place at this meal. And it's a time of intimacy, of deep emotion, when Jesus talked to the apostles about what was to happen. Events that would be the culmination, the high point, the conclusion of his ministry on earth, what he had come to do. In the intimacy of that last meal, the apostles' hearts and minds are laid open, their fears, their questions, their concerns. Peter asked Jesus, it's actually at the end of chapter 13, Lord, if you're leaving, so they're concerned about Jesus leaving. He says he's going, and if you read through, there's questions. Where are you going? What's going to happen? Peter asks, Lord, if you're leaving, where are you going? And in John 14, in our verses, Jesus opens his heart and gives his answer. Verses 1 and 2 are verses the Christian should cherish. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where are you going? Peter asked. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is talking about heaven, where his Father lives. And the word mansion might throw us a bit. Is it a mansion, a big house of its own, alongside other houses? But the commentators say that the Greek word means abode or dwelling, room, and not a specific type of house. The key point is that Jesus will be leaving this earth, leaving his apostles, and go to his Father. A wonder of wonders. He will not only not forget us, he'll go to prepare a place for us. So Jesus is taken up into glory to be with his Father. And he remembers us. And he prepares a place for us. So there's heart-to-heart talk here between Jesus and the apostles whom he loved. As any of us might talk to a loved one who we're saying goodbye to. Jesus even goes so far to reason with them, to quiet their fears. Look, I wouldn't have led you on for 3 years if this weren't so. If I wasn't going to heaven to prepare this place for you. This union, this fellowship that I have with you, it's not going to come to an end. It's going to last forever. The apostles asked several more questions. In verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So they keep asking the same questions. How can we know the way? And the patience with which Jesus answers their questions shows his love. He tells Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is a well-known verse. It's one of the I am statements from the Gospel of John. And Jesus is claiming a lot here. Jesus made statements through his ministry, and it got him into trouble because he was making big claims, and he makes a big claim here. And he's the only one who dares to make this claim without bringing down God's righteous condemnation on him. You're the way? Yes, he is. We get to the Father through him. There's no other way. Try another way, and you'll end up in hell. So there's a second place that the Holy Spirit, the helper or comforter, is helping to prepare. I pray the Father, Jesus says in verse 16, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Trinity is on full display here, isn't it? In the chapter 14. Jesus shows us the Father. Jesus talks about going to the Father. And the Spirit does what? What's the mission of the Spirit? To bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus says. It's not a new ministry. The Spirit glorifies the Son as the Son glorifies the Father. John 16 continues the dialogue between Jesus and the apostles. And Jesus says this, "You sorrow that I'm going away, but it's to your advantage. You're better off. Why? Because after I go, I'm sending the Helper." In other words, he's saying, if I don't go, the Helper doesn't come. But you're better off if the Helper does come. As we know, 40 days after the Ascension, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church at Pentecost. This is the glorious beginning of the New Testament church. Jesus tells his apostles, there are many things I might say and I have to say, but you can't bear them now. Mental overload, spiritual overload. They're trying to put together what's about to happen and what Jesus has told them. And it's not all coming together for them. But it will later, after the Holy Spirit comes and makes known to them everything that Jesus told them. All the wonderful truths that Jesus spoke and lived out will begin to sink in and come together. And they'll have conviction of this truth, the truth of the gospel that they're willing to die for and that they do die for. This is the precious apostolic foundation on which the Church of Jesus is built, which we gather as part of this morning. So verse 23 tells us something interesting. If anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, my Father and I, will come to him and make our home with him. We think about the temple, our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, Father and I will make our home with you. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're one. And this theme of making a home with us, dwelling with us, is throughout the Gospel of John. Just as Jesus prepares a room in his Father's house, God comes to dwell with the believer in this world. Think of the verse from chapter 1. The Word became flesh and did what? He dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. So the Father and Son dwell in us through the Holy Spirit. The three are one. The Holy Spirit is the divine Spirit of Christ, who is with us, even as Christ in his humanity is seated at his Father's right hand. Read over the Heidelberg questions that we read this morning. The three are one and united in one ministry. Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord is never far off. Scripture tells us God is not far off. He's calling on his people to repent and be saved, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you hear his call today? Is God near? Don't turn away, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. A couple statements, verses at the end of the chapter, focus on the events that are coming. Jesus says in verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Interesting verse. The ruler of this world that Jesus is referring to is Satan. And we shouldn't think that he's the ultimate ruler, but Jesus is saying that he has sway. He has power and authority, limited though it be. What Jesus is saying about Satan is that he has no claim on him, no accusation. He can't speak a word against him. He's got nothing on Jesus. It's remarkable that Jesus would even defend himself against Satan. But I'm reminded of Jesus praying to his Father in front of the disciples. And you remember that Jesus says that he doesn't do so for his sake, but he does so for the sake of his disciples who are hearing him. So we see here the wise and loving pastor who knew in a matter of hours what doubts and questions would assail the apostles. But he's preparing them to stare down Satan and all the accusations that would come against the Lamb of God, who was going to be convicted in a court and led to the cross to die. Chapter 14 ends with the words, "Arise, let us go from here." These are words a commanding officer might give to his troops after giving them orders involving a difficult assignment. There's a certain relief, isn't there? Finally, just getting to do the task, even if it's a difficult one, after talking and thinking about it for a time. And while the apostles might feel alone and abandoned in the days to come, they never were they? Jesus, their Lord and Savior, always goes before them, mindful of them, following behind, even denying him. The cock, after all, the crows, is a reminder to Peter of Jesus' words to him. It's a gracious, loving thing that cock crows. And so Jesus, throughout the next days, will lead his sheep like the good shepherd. And if we think about Jesus telling them that I go to my Father, it's interesting here that it's we, let us go. Let us go forward as the triumphant church of Jesus Christ. So I asked you about your favorite place. So this is probably a place where you get away from the pressures of the world, regroup, get ready to go again. A question for each of us: is our favorite place a place where we meet and have fellowship with Jesus? Jesus loves us enough that he doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget about us, and he never will, even as he returns to his Father in heaven. Do we love him enough to welcome him in our lives? So perhaps as we get older, we'll think more about that heavenly place, that room. But if you are young and making plans for your life and you have many years ahead of you, Give serious thought and prayer to Jesus and his place in your life. Ask him to send you the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, that he may abide with you wherever you go. Psalm 139 says, "Wherever you go, I am." So that whatever trials and joys you may encounter, wherever you are, you may know that he is there. May it be. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus has not forgotten us. He's prepared and is preparing a room for us in heaven. And that he sent his Helper to dwell in us. We thank you for his ministry. We pray that we might be mindful of him this day. And as we go from here, we might remember and be mindful of him and the place that he might have a place, a prominent place, that he might sit enthroned in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.